back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Marion back in shotgun, rides Ryan Nall. The big fella hits a seam. Nall 50, 45, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Nall takes it the distance. Touchdown, Beavers again.
You know, something about Mike Parker and a Beaver radio highlight that just hits you right when you need it. And it's a great day for Beaver Nation. Women's basketball going to the NCAA tournament again under Scott Ruick. Do not doubt that program. And they're back in it after beating Portland today in the WCC tournament championship. Ryan Nall, longtime former Beav, NFL running back, now pursuing some professional interests post-playing career. Central Catholic legend, one of the great football players our state has had to offer. I've always kind of wanted to connect with Ryan and see what he's up to now and see his connection back to Oregon State football and what are his thoughts on Beaver football today. Let's go ahead and punch him up there. Jude Anubi, Stephen Vaughn filling in for John Canzano. It's a great day to be a Beav, Ryan. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Do you still watch much Beaver athletics? And how about that women's basketball team punching its ticket to the NCAA tournament?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know I follow along as much as I can. I actually saw the notifications today that they punched their ticket, which I'm super stoked for. You know, they've been doing it since I was there, before I was there, all that stuff. So, you know, I'm real happy for them, and I hope they can make it far.
You played a little hoops in your background, didn't you?
I did. I feel like my organized basketball career does not showcase my level of skill of basketball, though.
You know, Stephen Vaughn.
I was so much bigger than a lot of the other kids. I always had to play the post, and you know, my skill case is more of a 2-3 guard.
Yeah, you're probably one of those posts that you're like, I'm going to sit out here at the three-point line and get my shots up out here. Yeah, Stephen Vaughn, you're co-hosting with me as well, and I know you've got family involved with Central Catholic. Can you imagine Ryan Nall in a Central Catholic basketball uniform banging bodies?
No, and they're really good, too. That's the thing. Central Catholic basketball's good, but yeah, you get Ryan Nall out there just, you know, bashing people. A little enforcer out there.
One of the great things about bringing on former Beaver players, for me at least, is I get to watch their highlights again. And Ryan, watching some of your highlights at Oregon State, man, I mean, it's like a cathartic experience. I just like, dude, this guy's a beast. How often do you think about your playing time at Corvallis?
Oh, man, it comes up more often than you think. You know, whether it's random encounters at a grocery store or someone posting about it on Twitter, whatever the case may be, I get a lot of attention on it, and you know it makes me happy because it makes me feel like I left an impact in people's lives. You know, obviously we weren't the best team, you know, during my time there. We had a handful of losing seasons, but we had a lot of memorable moments. You know, obviously the main one being beating the Ducks at home in the pouring down rain. And you know, that kind of solidified my legacy at Oregon State. And, you know, like I said, I get recognized at random times for it, and it just makes me feel, you know, it makes me feel amazing.
You know, that is probably the capstone on your Beav career. I'll never forget watching that game and what it meant for Oregon at the time. I mean, they were kind of coming apart at the seams, and that was the end for Mark Helfrich. And for you guys to be able to get bragging rights in the state and win again at Reaser, you know, what do you remember from that day?
Oh, man. Looking back on it now, you know, the day was pretty much a blur, but the game, yeah, having to watching it back over and over again, it's like, oh wow, yeah, I do remember that. I do remember this run. I remember that run. I remember how that hit felt, you know, things like that. And it was definitely one for the history books, and I was just thankful to be a part of it.
Do you like playing in the rain?
You know, yes, and because it does make it easier for defenders to slip off you and fall off you. You know, it's harder to get tackled. So obviously it's harder to hold on to the ball too, but you know, I trust myself holding on to the ball more than I trust a defender being able to bring me down. So I'd prefer a rain game over a 100-degree weather game, that's for sure.
It's so funny. We're talking to Ryan Nall, Beaver running back. He spent some time in the NFL as well. Looking at some of the quarterbacks you played with, and this is, you know, no shot to these guys at all, but I think going down memory lane with Beaver fans listening, you know, Seth Collins, Marcus McMarion, Nick Mitchell, Daryl Gerritsen, Connor Blunt. I think Jake Luton may have slid in there late in your run there. And you may have redshirted, I think, when Mannion was still there in 2014. But that's a lot of different quarterbacks and a few different kind of systems that were around Corvallis during your time there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that kind of attests to the struggle that we had is the lack of consistency. You know, Coach Riley, he had coached there for, gosh, around, it got to be close, either surpassed it or close to 20 years and before I got there. And I was his last last recruiting class, I believe, before he left, or maybe the second to last. And, you know, when a pivotal guy like that leaves a program, it kind of leaves everything in disarray. So, you know, when Coach Anderson came in, he did the best he could to try to, you know, bring guys in who were ready, whether it be transfers or JUCO guys, or whatever the case may be. And then, like you stated, when we go through umpteenth quarterbacks, you know, granted, they were all really good players. And you saw that when they left the program to go play elsewhere. They had success elsewhere. But it's hard to find a rhythm and to find trust within the system when you're going through, you know, quarterbacks left and right. And sometimes it was due to injury. Other times it was just, you know, coaches' decisions, whatever it may be. But it's hard. And when you're in a program like Oregon State, when you had a guy that was there for a very long time and you had success, and all of a sudden that change, it makes it hard to recover.
When you talk about the change of coaches and players and all that kind of stuff, when you were there, Oregon State's kind of going through the same exact thing now. You know, Jonathan Smith was there for so long and kind of revamped the program, and then he leaves, takes a lot of the players, and Trent Bray comes in, brand new staff, brand new players. Year two for Trent Bray coming up. How do you think Trent Bray's done so far, and how confident are you in him for the future?
Oh, I think the world of Coach Bray. You know, he was the linebackers coach my freshman year there, and there were so many times when I could have just been flipped over to defense at any moment in time, and he would have been my position coach. and I know that he would have taken great care of me, and he would have pushed me to my limits, and would have made sure I would have been the best linebacker in the league. And you know, and that's just a test to who he is. You know, I'm happy that he finally able to get the opportunity to become the head coaching job. And like you said, when things go awry and you get left with no players, especially nowadays with this transfer portal stuff, it makes it so hard for a first-year coach to be able to find success. And so for him to be able to do what he did last year and just lose a few games by, you know, whether it was overtime or, you know, one possession or whatever the case was, you know, for him to still be in the games at the end of it, as a first-year coach with, you know, guys down, injured players, new players, whoever, whatever the case is, just a test to who he is and his football knowledge and the guys that he brought around him.
You talk about the portal at NIL. How would you have handled that? Because you would have been a pretty big deal. Like down in Corvallis, you would have gotten some deals. Does it make you a little jealous now that you weren't, you know, you're an athlete right now in 2025?
Yeah, of course it does. I just missed it. You know, I was like a year or two out of it. And, you know, it's funny because you see, like, my last year there, we had, or maybe the last 2 years there, we had, like, the alternate gray jerseys for the 1942 Rose Bowl team. And, like, and pretty much the only one they sold was mine, was number 34. And everybody knew that's Ryan Nall jersey. That's Ryan Nall. And to think I missed out on some of those sales just guts me a little bit. But, you know, that's what the rules were back then.
And they had the big giant billboard. They had the big giant billboard going into Corvallis after the win, too. My uncle was so proud of that.
Yep, the win. You know, I could have done some local little deals, whether it was Jamba Juice or, you know, me and my buddies, we love to go to the Applebee's. I don't know if it's still there or not, but we always do the half apps on the weekend, and probably could have done a couple of deals with them, you know, just little stuff that really can change players' lives. And, you know, I'm happy for the kids now that, that they get the opportunity to do this. But, you know, like I said, I can't, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't jealous.
Well, that's why you get into radio at some point post-playing career and start to do some endorsements, Ryan, and start to make it up on the back end. You know, we gotta make up for lost time, lost revenue, right? For you. We're talking to Ryan Nall, Beaver great here on the program. Ryan, what was the NFL like getting ready and getting ready for the draft? I saw you post on socials about the combine a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
What was that whole process like? What do you remember from that?
I remember it was crazy because I was untraditional getting ready for it. So I was still in school. I had a term left, and you know, my mom was not going to let me not graduate. So I was taking my final classes. You know, preparing for the combine. So I would spend pretty much Thursday through Monday up here in Portland. I would train at the Nike facility, and I had, you know, a strength coach and speed coach, shout out Alex Molden and Sam Johnson. And I would train at the Nike facility with Alex Molden, and I would go do strength sessions out at Strength Farm with Sam Johnson. And then during the week, when I had my classes, I'd drive back down to Corvallis Tuesday and Thursdays, and then Wednesday would be like an off day, recovery day. And I would do my class. And I wrote like a 20-page paper before leaving for the combine. and that was crazy in itself. But you know, it all worked out. So I wouldn't change anything for the world, because you know, everything was meant to happen the way it was.
What was the 20-page paper on?
Probably some sort of rhetoric theory that I was in at the time. I was a comm major, so I couldn't even think about it. I think my computer's dead nowadays, so I couldn't even bring it up if I wanted to.
Yeah, sorry to bring up that memory. I tell you what, you barely missed NIL, you barely missed AI. Could have really helped you on the 20-page paper as well.
I know, right?
You end up coming on with Chicago, you know, after going undrafted in 18, and kind of take us through that whole process. That could not have been easy. And actually, you know, I was hosting on the radio in 2018. We did an NFL draft special. I brought you on. We talked about it for 10 minutes or so going into the draft. And I know your expectations were, you know, you're staying optimistic and all that, but that could not have been easy draft weekend, not hearing your name. But then I know it's sheer chaos in those hours when the seventh round ends and teams are just going, you know, to the wall, trying to sign their UDFAs and all the contract stuff that goes with it. What do you remember from that and getting on with Chicago?
Yeah, it's so chaotic, you know. And the worst part is like, I understood I was probably going to be a day three guy. You know, that was going to be our plan, but that's essentially, you know, I wanted to take a risk on myself and move on to the next level. So we fully were prepared for that. And the worst part of it all is I got multiple phone calls, and I'm not going to name from who, that morning that they were going to draft me if I was still in the sixth round. And lo and behold, you know, sixth round came and went, seventh round came and went, and those guys did not call. But what does suck is, this is a fun fact a lot of people probably don't know, is that during those rounds, other teams will call you, and they'll be like, hey, if you guys aren't drafted, you know, if you aren't drafted by seventh round, we'd love to have you come on as a free agent. And I got like so many phone calls from this. So my phone's blowing up thinking I'm going to get drafted. And no, it's just another team that wants to sign me as free agency. Mm. So that was stressful and emotional and gut wrenching every single time, because you just don't know whether it's going to be the good call or the bad call. But you know, like I said, it all worked out, because ironically, the main reason I ended up in Chicago was, well, first of all, they offered me the most money as they could coming out as a free agent, which obviously is not as much as being drafted, but it's better than nothing. And secondly, Mark Helfrich had just got hired as the offensive coordinator with Chicago Bears under Matt Nagy.
That's right.
So I knew that he knows what I'm capable of, and I would have the best chance of playing with a guy like that in my corner. So That was ultimately the main reason why I decided to go with Chicago. Believe it or not, my second choice would have been the Titans. And could you imagine me and Derrick Henry back there together? So
the Bash Bros.
So that was kind of that experience. And like I said, I wouldn't change it for the world because I ended up being in Chicago for 4 years, and I loved every second of it.
That's amazing, man. I forgot about the Markelle Fritz Chicago thing until you were talking about that a second ago. I did my undergrad out there in Chicagoland and interned in Chicago for a while as well. They brought me on when Helfrich got hired because they were like, we need someone from the state of Oregon to tell us what we got here. And I'm like, dude, you know, Matt Nagy's there. He's going to call plays. It's going to be his show. But Mark is going to develop Mitch Trubisky. He's going to be the QB whisperer. He got Mariota and all that. But I can't imagine what that was like for Mark Helfrich. Really, he saw the beginning of the end, the writing on the wall. Thanks to the wrecking Nall in 2016. What was it like kind of having him be an advocate for you in Chicago?
Yeah, it was definitely nice because I knew he knew what I could do, and he only advocated for me, you know, every chance he got, right? So, and unfortunately, I think he was only there, you know, two seasons or season and a half or whatever the case was. So it was short-lived, but by that time I had, you know, built the trust and relationships with the other coaches and Coach Nagy at the time. And, you know, they knew what kind of player I was and what I was capable of, which is why I hung around for an extra 3 years. So, and so just to have, but like I said, the fact that I, you know, knew him, you know, briefly, you know, we knew of each other, you know, came and recruited me out of high school a little bit, obviously never really pulled the trigger, and then playing against him at Oregon, like, I knew that he would go to bat for me when the time came, you know, at roster cuts and things like that. And obviously I had to do my part and play well, which is what I did. But, you know, to have a guy like Coach Helfrich in there is definitely helpful.
I know 2018 ended with the double doink in the wild card round. How can you not forget that? What do you remember from that whole experience in Chicago? I mean, that is a different media landscape than Corvallis, to say the least.
Yeah. No, it's everything is heightened by 10. And I just remember I was standing on the bench. I was on practice squad during that time, and I was standing on the bench watching it from, you know, probably 30, you know, the 30, 40 yard line, wherever, how far back it was. And just watched it go. And at first I was like, oh my God, it's going to go. And then it didn't. And it bounced off again. I was like, no, I was just in disbelief. I couldn't believe it. The whole stadium, it like felt silent. It was eerie almost for a second. And then all of a sudden, you know, the groans and moans and boos started coming. And yeah, it was just a crazy experience. But to say I was a part of that double doink was something I can pass down to my grandkids and live on forever.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. Give us something. You know, you experienced life in the NFL. You could go any number of ways with this answer, but what's one thing that comes to mind about life in the NFL that the general public just doesn't know or doesn't get?
Oh man, just like the daily grind of an NFL season, man. Like there's a reason why we only play once a week. And like, I remember, gosh, it would have been my second or third year. I was on active at this point, and we statistically, I don't know if it's been broken since, but it was like the shortest amount of time in between games played in like a 3-game span. So we played like a Sunday night, and then the following week was another Sunday night or something like that, and then we played Thanksgiving, but it was at like noon. So it was super quick, and the time in between is just like, you know, you got to not only get your body back right, but you got to get mentally prepared because you got to study and focus and watch film and do your homework and all that kind of stuff on your opponent. And thankfully, the first game was against Detroit. Then we played somebody else, and then we played Detroit again on Thanksgiving. So we kind of had, you know, kind of our homework and the film kind of stuff kind of, you know, carried over, but then obviously we had to prepare for what could happen. But that's something that just a lot of people don't understand is just like the daily in and out of an NFL schedule, because a lot of people think that, the practices, these guys don't wear pads anymore. Well, that's not always the case. Yes, we get X amount, but, we still treat our practices full blown because, one, there's not enough players, so not everybody can get a blow, and at practice, and it's gruesome, man. So, I just like I said, though, but it's what we are meant to do. That's what we signed up for, and we love every second of it. But a lot of people just don't realize that.
Now, with your NFL career in the rearview mirror, you're still staying busy. And if you follow Ryan on socials, you know what he's up to. But you're a licensed realtor in the state of Oregon, Ryan. Let the people know out there, what you're doing.
Yeah. Life after football came at me pretty quick, and I had a couple, decisions to make, and ultimately with my family, I always had interest in real estate. I never really knew kind of what it was about, and I'll give a shout out to my boss here, Jennifer Maven. She owns the franchise Harcourts, and she actually was the realtor who sold me my house. And lo and behold, she bought the house behind me, and she's a super successful broker. And, I knew that it can obviously become very successful in real estate. And I also know the other factors to it, right? You can spend time with your family. You can create your own schedule. You can, you're not stuck in an office 9 to 5, all that good stuff. And on top of that, you can help people move into their, potential dream home. So, moving forward, I was just thinking, because now I got two young kids, by the way. I got a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old.
Incredible, man. Congrats and good luck.
Yeah, thank you. And, I want to be there. I want to be around, and I want to be able to coach the sports and do all that kind of stuff. So, I thought that this was a good path for me. And, so far it's been pretty good. I joined her team is where I was going with that. I joined her team. So I'm not out there on my own scrambling, trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing. She provides, essentially like a coach. She provides knowledge and guidance and wisdom, since she's been in the game for 30 plus years. And now, I'm almost 8 months in, and I've closed a handful of deals. I actually sold and helped sell and helped buy one of my old teammates a home. I helped them sell their old home and get them into a home that's big enough to fit their family now. So, it's been good. It's very rewarding, and I'm excited to see what it brings me.
Ryan, we appreciate your time. We'll follow more of his stuff at Ryan Nall Realtor on Instagram and RyanNall_34. I know you've got so much more football knowledge and memories. We'll have to have you on again soon to unpack more in your Beaver thoughts, but thanks for making time for us on a Tuesday, and we'll connect with you again soon.
Of course, man. I appreciate you guys having me, and give me a follow, man. If you guys got a house you want to buy or sell, I'm your guy.
There he is. How about it? Ryan Nall, the Wrecking Nall, but now he's building dream homes for everybody in Portland as well. Love that. We'll come back. We'll get you our big splash. We'll set you up for hour two as well. Great stuff with Ryan Nall. Jude Anubi, Stephen Vaughn here on the Bald-Faced Truth.